powerful women end up in unhealthy, abusive relationships? This is Dr. Kate Dow, and it's her turn. And today, we're going to explore this dynamic that is actually quite common. This way that we can perceive women who are in positions of power or success or professional status that we think, oh my gosh, they have it together. Look at them. They are just slaying it on all levels. How are they doing that? And then we either find out personally or in the public eye that they have been in challenging, unhealthy, abusive relationships. How does this happen? Well, first we have to acknowledge that how people are perceived in the public eye is never, ever totally a reflection of how people experience their own lives and their own personal struggles. In fact, that story that how we appear out in the world is exactly who we are puts a lot of pressure on all of us to keep thinking that, oh, look that, they look so together and I don't feel very together, so what's wrong with me? Like, we all do that, even though we know the truth, that that's not necessarily what's real. But for women who are actually revealing this level of success in the public world, and then we hear about them struggling and having relationships that are demeaning, disrespectful, unkind, abusive in some form, it feels really confusing because even though we know we all have this public and private persona, it feels like, how do we put those two together? And yet, again, it really is quite common because as women, we can have that split. We can have that part of us that is so high functioning, possibly even perfectionistic, you know, where we can look good, we can have it together out there in our public world, whether that's in a business or just in a professional capacity or even in our social group, and look like we have it together because that part of us does have it together. That part of us is articulate, it's capable, it's high performing. And then we have this other part, this part of us that does not feel okay about ourselves. This is, we could say, even the shadow side of perfectionism is the striving to be enough. And underneath, we actually have this part of us that goes, I am never good enough, ever. And that's the part that we've been neglecting. That's the part that didn't get what it needed, possibly growing up or from us once we were grown up, because we don't really want to look at that part. We feel ashamed of that part. And then we end up tolerating relationships that reflect that shaming, putting down, not enough, criticizing behavior. And that's how this happens, because we have struggled to own our own woundedness, we could say. Now, why does this happen? Or how do we end up getting there? Sometimes it's from our family experience of seeing a parent who struggles with that. They can appear out in the public, very powerful and together, and yet inside the family walls, they are dysfunctional. They are kind of crazy. They're all over the place. And when we see that, it's very confusing as a child, but we almost learn that you are supposed to not address that part of you. You're just supposed to hide it behind the closed doors. Or we've had an experience where that parent is maybe the abusive, more narcissistic parent who we feel devalued by. We feel like our needs and wants are not important. And so we have that wounded part of us because we actually really didn't experience being received and loved in that place as a child. So the coping strategy in families like this sometimes really is about saying, I'm going to get it together and I'm going to achieve and I'm going to look so good and I'm going to have it all together, because that will make me not only feel safe in my family, but I'll be, you know, approved of and loved and all those good things. So we learn to then dissociate from that needy, unhappy, sad, less than part of us. And we super focus on having that image, that mask that we put on of, I've got it together. And it's a brilliant strategy to get through those tough times. It's just not a strategy you want to stay living with forever, because of course it ends us up in situations like this, where you're in a dynamic of, why am I in this and tolerating this awful behavior of this person I love? It's because we are struggling to take full ownership of our own way that we are rejecting ourselves, right? That relationship is reflecting our own way that we are rejecting ourselves. So we can't underestimate the bigger context too of the patriarchy and its messages towards women of, you are never good enough, no matter what you do. And if you do end up getting to a place of power, status, financial gain, then it comes at you with, well, you're not pretty enough, or we'll treat you like a sex object, or, but are you a good mother to your children because you're over here working so hard, or, right, the list goes on. Are you a good enough partner because you're spending so much time at work? So the backlash is always there. And if we're not conscious of the fact that this is happening and it fits our internal story of, like, see, I'm not good enough, then it even widens that gap of, I just want to keep looking like I have it together, and part of me does have it together. And then the other part that I keep not wanting to be with and pay attention to will keep feeling worse and worse about herself. So what do we do? What can we do when we're at this place of recognizing this in others or seeing it in ourselves? How do we take this situation and not make it about, well, let's just get out of that relationship because that's the problem. It's just this relationship. Not to say that it is not okay to leave, because it certainly is. If you're in an unsafe situation ever, it's time to leave. And unsafe can be emotional abuse, mental abuse, or physical abuse, or even spiritual abuse. Okay, so let's get really clear on that. If ever you're feeling unsafe and abused at a level that you are not able to take care of you, it's time to go, girl. So what do we do while we're figuring that out? We'll get some support. We get a safe place to really talk about and start paying attention to this part of us. We learn to come inside, aware, and come to know ourselves and start caring. And I know that can feel like a large leap when we're like, well, I have, you know, this business to run, or I have these children to raise, but none of that's going to matter if this split just gets bigger and you start struggling at a deeper level. Because what we don't want to face doesn't just go away because we don't want to face it. It just gets bigger and more demanding, and it will get your attention one way or another. And believe me, you don't want to wait till it's a huge crisis point, which it might already be, and that's okay, but you don't want it to get even worse, right? It becomes like a bit of an earthquake, and the damage can be larger and larger the longer we wait. So getting support sooner than later is always a good idea. Now, let me share with you a little bit about my experience with this. I was a person who felt like I knew I had that part that didn't feel good enough, but I thought I was dealing with it. I thought I was doing some good work on myself, but at the same time, apparently I needed to heal at a deeper level a lot of relationship experience I had in my family. So I ended up having a marriage with somebody who had a lot of trauma, a lot of unresolved woundedness that was very big and ended up being an abusive behavior in our relationship, in our marriage. And I recognized that that was not just him having those issues. I had my own trauma, my own issues that I hadn't fully realized the depths of. And together, it was not a pretty situation. And it was very difficult because we had children and I had my career that was taking off and it wasn't getting better. It was getting worse. And I had to recognize that split that I was living, where I was very good at what I did. I was very helpful in supporting other people in their journeys. And then I was coming home to this incredibly painful, wounding relationship. Not only for me, but I was seeing how it was wounding really for all of us because it wasn't getting better. And we were waiting and waiting for it to get better, and it just wasn't. It was very sad and painful and difficult to face the parts of me that felt ashamed about that, as if it was my fault that this was happening, or that it was because I picked a person that wasn't right for me, or as if I just deserved to be in this situation. And that alone was incredibly despairing and devastating. So what I needed to do was recognize that we were all doing our best, but it was not a good situation and we needed to end it. I got support. I had a counselor. I had, you know, people that could help support me in my decisions. And this became a not easy situation, but it became clear that it was nobody's fault at this point, but that it was not okay to continue. And it took tremendous courage and tremendous willingness to face where I had been rejecting my own needs. I had been making it not okay for me to look at the sadness and shame and grief that I had from my relationship in my family growing up, and that it didn't mean that caring about somebody meant that I needed to stay in a situation that was abusive, that it was actually better for everyone if we moved forward and learned to love ourselves on our own so that we could be the parents that we wanted to be for our kids. And that was the choice that we made. Now, is that a simple 1-2 step? No. It was full of all kinds of winding roads of challenge that are for another story, another time. But the point being that I know how easy it can be to live in that split. And it's not sustainable. And so to really care about yourself, the work you do, the people you love, I just want to say, be courageous and face yourself and get the support you need to look at that gap and to care enough about the part of you that also matters, the part that's sitting in that shadow, that's sitting in the rejection, that's sitting in the pain, and know that she is a huge part of why you are able to be so great in that other part. You are able to be so caring and helpful and capable. It's not just one side is doing it. Both sides are doing that. And we have to honor all of who we are. And that's really my message, is that, You know, we all have our pain and our struggles and our suffering, and we all have our capacities and our skills and our amazing abilities. And that's what makes us human. And the more that we can do the healing work that lets us bridge that gap, bring them closer together, bring them in acceptance and unity, it's a whole different way of living. And it's worth every bit of effort you put into it. So if you're somebody who's going through this, or you know somebody who's going through this, please let them know that this isn't their fault. And I know it's difficult, but you can come through the other side. Just get the support you need and show up and do the best you can. I want to thank you for joining me today. It means a lot, and I hope that you're taking away some wisdom or inspiration that encourages you on your journey. Please remember to subscribe, share, or give us a review if you're so moved. I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, reminding you to take your turn to find your voice, own your truth, and claim your power. Oh,